line that is drawn through the ages. On that line stands an old rugged cross. On that cross, battle is raging. They gain a man's soul or his loss. On one side march the forces of evil. All the demons, all the devils of hell. But on the other, the angels of glory, have they been on Golgotha's hill? The earth shakes with the force of the conflict, and the sun refuses to shine. For there hangs God's Son in the balance, and then through the darkness he cried, "It's finished. The battle is over. It is finished.
Welcome to today's broadcast of It Is Finished with your host, Evangelist K.O. Rich. Excuse me. Thank you for tuning in today. Today is Wednesday, September the 9th of 2015. I pray that you're having a blessed week and that the remainder of your week continues to be blessed as well. Before we begin today's broadcast, I would like to invite you to visit me on my website at www.klrichministries.com. Again, that's www.klrichministries.com. That's my new website. On my website, you can listen to previous ministry broadcasts as well as get books for your entire family. Now, the broadcast that all you gotta do is click on the broadcast tab. It will let you listen to the YouTube version. And if you're able, if there's ever any interruption with regards to Blog Talk Radio and you're not able to listen in clearly, then you can always go again to my website. Again, that's www.klrichministries.com and click on the broadcast tab, and you can listen to all the broadcasts if you're not able to listen to them on Blog Talk Radio. Also, please follow me on Facebook under KL Rich Ministries. You can click on the Facebook tab on my website as well. That's KL Rich Ministries. Okay, before we begin, I would like to invite you to join us on Friday live for our prayer that we're going to have. It's going to be live, and we're going to be praying for the persecuted Christians all around the world, including the U.S. of A. And then we're also going to be praying for the revival that God wants to take place in this nation. Now, the nation may will not be revived as a superpower. As we know, the Bible lets us know in Revelation chapter 18 that Babylon will fall, and America is Babylon, according to Revelation chapter 18. However, and that is due to America not repenting and turning back to God. And so when a nation refuses to turn back to God, especially as blessed as America has been, then there is judgment. And so, but in the midst of the judgment, God is still in the reviving of souls for the kingdom. And so it is our job to witness, to evangelize, in order to allow God to save souls and bring in souls for the kingdom. Okay, we have a ton of headlines. Again, please join us for this prayer vigil. It's going to be Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific, where we're going to be just praying for our persecuted brothers and Christians. I mean, our brothers and sisters who are Christians in Christ, as well as the ones who are being persecuted here in the United States, and the revival within this nation. Many people feel that there is something that's going to be taking place that's huge. You don't know when, but you know it's coming, and there's so many things that are coming, and it's letting us know that the time that we're in, we need to be praying. We need to have an active prayer life. The devil is truly busy, even with the leaders in the body of Christ. We're not exempt, and a lot of times we're up under demonic attack because of what we're doing for Christ, because of the message that we're giving, and the devil mess with us even harder. I know myself, I can speak for myself, that the devil, he's really busy, and he tries to discourage you and, want you to give up and don't want you to stand on the promises, and he tries his best to discourage you. And a lot of times, he throws things at you, whether it's in your mind or external things. He throws things at you to really get you discouraged. And so we really have to pray and ask God to keep us grounded in him. And speaking of prayer, we're gonna normally I don't start the broadcast off with a song, but I believe that is fitting for us to start off with this song by Donna McKirkland and Yolanda Adams, and it's called The Prayer, and we'll be having it in just a moment.
Where we go, and
And that's the prayer by Yolanda Adams and Donnie McKirkland. And we are in a time that we desperately need prayer. There's so much that's going on in the world, and it's no time to be outside of the will of God. And the things that we see in the headlines, the things that we see in the news, the things that's not even told in the news, we need to know that, whether said or unsaid, that we need to be in a mindset of prayer. All right, we're going to go to these headlines, and we have a ton of headlines today. Hungary Prime Minister vows to seal border. The Prime Minister of Hungary, who had been at odds with many European leaders about the mass influx of migrants, is vowing to seal his nation's borders and keep the migrants from illegally entering or passing through his country. Prime Minister Viktor Orban told reporters that if any migrants attempt to enter the nation except through a designated area, they will be arrested and imprisoned. I'm therefore asking those who want to cross into Europe through Hungary, don't come, Orban said. Even though the situation won't change overnight, we will gradually achieve results, and the time will come when we will tell our Austrian and German friends that Hungary's southern borders are hermetically sealed. Okay, so Hungary's prime minister is sounding as if he's serious, and he is saying that he is not going to let his country be influxed with a bunch of immigrants. And I don't blame them, because the thing is, these immigrants, and I know they're showing the sad pictures as on the TV, and yes, you know, there were some that died, yes, but who is the one who told them to flood into all these countries? And you know who that was, UN, United States, flood into these countries. Now, the funny thing is, and we're going to talk about this a little later, is that the countries that are near them, their Muslim brothers and sisters, they're not letting them in. We got an article about that later. They're not letting them in. Why? Because they don't want any terrorist stuff going on in their countries. Now, if they own Muslim people, we're not letting them in because of the terrorists. Why are these other countries letting them in. This seems like a setup event. It's to destabilize all the other countries of the world. And the thing is, once you start letting these people into these other countries, you're going to see terrorism on the rise. You're going to see violence on the rise. Everywhere they go, they carry violence with them. And this is for the majority of these Muslim countries. And they're trying to say, oh, well, they're fleeing because they're trying to escape the civil, you know, the violence that's in Syria. But the thing is that they're going to be somebody else's problem, somebody else's headache, and with them come trouble. And so Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that he's not letting them in his country, and I don't blame him either, because they already got enough of them Muslim countries around there that want to annihilate them. So why are they going to let the enemy in to destroy them from the inside out, like the United States has done with President Barack Obama being in, along with his other shadow government that's leading him? So therefore, yes, this is a massive problem, and with this is going to come again more crime, more violence, more terrorists, more more burden to the system with regards to having to support these people, and it's going to be a mess. And so it's already a mess right now. Moving on, crater in Russia triples in size in 10 months to become 120 I believe mile wide sinkhole. A crater which has swallowed up 20 homes in Russia has tripled in size in the space of 10 months to become a 120 mile wide sinkhole. The crater first appeared after the collapse of the former Potash mine close to Samkomsk in the Ural Mountains at the end of 2014. Okay, we know that we have sinkholes appearing all across the world, including the United States. I believe the last one I reported on was in I believe it was in Bronson, Missouri, if I'm correct, and it was a massive sinkhole on a golf course. And so basically what this lets you know, hell is widening herself. That's pretty much what it is hell is widening herself. So many people are going to hell, it's just unbelievable. The majority of people are going to hell. There's only going to be a remnant that's going to be saved. Moving on, Chinese government rapidly using foreign currency to prop up economy. The Chinese government has quietly been depleting their reserves of foreign currency in an attempt to prop up their stock markets and overall economy. Government data released on Monday showed the government just under $100 billion in the last month, a record amount. China still owes $3.57 trillion in foreign currencies, $356 trillion in foreign currencies at their disposal. The outflow of capital are unprecedented and have no comparison to any period in the past. Nicholas Pigazzolo, global market strategist at JP Morgan in London, told the Wall Street Journal, there could potentially be even more over the coming year as the market tries to gauge the extent of the devaluation of the Chinese currency. Okay, so what is China doing? China has, been dumping U.S. currency, their treasuries, the U.S. debt, and so there's been explosions, coincidentally, which is not so coincidentally, in Chinese different factories, and there's been four. I'm going to read on one later, and this has been said that the Pentagon has been using what they consider the rod of God to target different Chinese facilities, because they're sending them a warning to stop dumping the U.S. debt and stop devaluing their currency. And so I reported last week that there were five China warships along the Alaska coast. What is China going to do? A week ago, or a little bit over a week ago, a Japan base was U.S. military was went up in an explosion. And so was that a retaliation of what so-called the Pentagon has been doing to China? So actually, we're in a war. It seemed like an unsaid war. No one wants to call it a war, but it's a currency war. It's it's a currency economic war. It's hacking, spying on each other, explosions. There's things going on, and you know, it's like it's hush hush that there's an actual war going on, but it seemed like the war has already started. Moving on, major red alert. Syrian refugee crisis is not as it appears. A major Trojan horse operation for all Western nations. Guess who is behind this massive exodus? Okay, so I'm going to go on and read. It says, why? Now, these are some questions to ponder over. Why would Syrian refugees make the dangerous and extremely long journey to European nations and the U.S.? Okay, rather than the Arab nations around them? That's one question. Why has it taken 5 years for Syrians in their particular region to leave due to the length of the civil war that's been taking place? It didn't just start. It's been there. Why are refugees tossing out good food and water given to them by Western governments on their arrival? They're tossing it out. Now, you're trying to help them, and they're tossing it out, throwing it back up in your face. Who in need does that? Why are many of the refugees young men instead of women and children? Why are the 5 wealthiest Gulf nations refusing to take even one refugee? What do they know that we don't? They know it's going to be trouble, okay? They know it's terrorists. They know it's going to be crime, violence, and a strain on their economic system. Could it be this refugee crisis is not a real crisis at all, but a Trojan horse? Could it be that we could be looking at the most massive infiltration of Muslims and the religion of Islam the West has ever seen? Could it be this refugee crisis is a planned takeover by the United Nations, U.S., and EU sensitive to the caliphate of Islamic teaching? What are they saying? They're saying that the U.S., the NATO, and EU is sensitive to the Islamic caliphate, and so therefore they're allowing this mass exodus of people into these nations because they know that Islam is on the rise, and not because people are converting, but because they have babies on top of babies like rabbits, and so therefore they're multiplying in great breeds, and therefore in the next few years you're going to have a Muslim infiltration. So Christianity is going to be it's going to be what you consider extinct. Well, it's not going to ever go extinct, but a endangered species. Christians are going to be the endangered species because of the Muslims that are crossing over into these other European countries. It goes on to say, could it be due to Russian intervention in the Syrian war back in Assad? This exodus of Syrians is due to a major surprise all-out attack to be launched by the U.S. and NATO in Syria, making Damascus a ruinous heap. Now, in the Bible, it talks about, Damascus being destroyed, and it seemed like it's very much heading in that direction. Now, a few years ago, there was supposed to be a war in Syria, but because Russia jumped in, then the U.S. NATO backed off. Now, could this be a restart of that war, a continuation of what they wanted to do in 2013 that was not accomplished? And once again, Russia is stepping in to keep the U.S. and NATO from overturning Assad. Now, this the thing is that the U.S. and NATO, they go into countries, they topple the government, saying that it's due to democracy. They come up with, oh, they're destroying their own people, and therefore we gotta come to the rescue. But then, as we see, what happened when they did this with this last time, with the, we know the last few times, whether it's Benghazi, whether it's Gaddafi, these countries wind up being worse. Saddam, these countries wind up being worse than they were with the leaders that were in. America is only doing, the only thing America does now is topple governments. They don't cure anything. They don't help anything. They're just toppling governments, and that's what's going on. Does China and Russia warship spotted off the coast of Alaska and Georgia, U.S. last week indicate something far more threatening and sinister is about to take place on this global scene. I do believe so. I don't believe that it's just by happenstance that China, you see, the mainstream media plays it down. Oh, they're just doing, it's nothing to worry about. They're lying. Anytime that China and Russia warships are spotted along the U.S. coast, something is majorly wrong. Something is majorly going down, and the U.S. is not telling us about it. Now, the monitoring system that's supposed to keep the planes from crashing in midair, they just gave them a one-day notice to let them know that it was not going to be reliable because they got military operations going on, and that has never happened before. And so pilots are worried whether it's going to go on. How do we keep from crashing into one another? So the only thing they were able to tell them is just make sure you're looking. Well, by the time an airplane is in your path, it's too late. You crash. Okay, that's what the airline patrol is supposed to do, is to make sure they're monitoring planes in midair to keep them from crashing. And even with this, there have been very close occurrences of planes crashing, and some have. So why would they endanger the pilots like this, and turn off the system? It's something that they're not telling people. Something is going on, and they're not letting everyone know about it. And it's sad because these are serious times. So these are some of the things that are taking place, and this is why that people really need to be praying about what's going on in this society. Because one of the things is ISIS. It says ISIS is plotting a Trojan horse campaign by smuggling militants into the Western Europe disguised as refugees. So ISIS is said to be coming through along with these other so-called refugees coming through so they can do their own attacks in these countries. It's like there's a plot to destroy nations from within by letting ISIS come in. And see, the thing is, why is it that Russia is trying to bomb ISIS? Why is it that the U.S. is not joining them? They're actually telling nations to not even let Russia use their airports. Do not let them be able to fly their military through their airspace. What is the U.S. doing if the U.S. was in a campaign to actually destroy ISIS? But see, U.S. is not trying to destroy ISIS. They created ISIS, and it's due to them toppling governments and funding them and giving them weapons and so-called accidentally dropping weapons and. There's a lot of things that the United States is up to their eyeballs in, and it's not as it seems. Moving on. The enemy within. U.S. NATO want to silence all reporters they dislike. The United States and its NATO allies treat information as a weapon designed to shape people's perception across the globe and are ready to use any tool in their arsenals to silence those who are critical of Washington and his friends, veteran war correspondent Don North warned. The U.S. calls an activity which involves combining psychological warfare, propaganda, and public relations, strategic communications, the journalist explained in an opinion piece titled U.S. NATO embrace PSYOPs and InfoWar. Within this framework, reporters who prefer to share information based on facts and not on bullet points prepared by the U.S. State Department are an enemy that has to be dealt with. They could be viewed as spies or unprivileged belligerents under the Pentagon's revised Law of War manual. Okay, so what is this saying? This is saying that the U.S. and NATO are trying to silence journalists. Now, in the U.S., we're supposed to have a freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to bear arms, and all of these rights are being challenged. They're taking away the rights. Journalists are supposed to be able to report the news regardless of if it's favorable or not. okay? But they're silencing. They're telling them what they can say, what they can't say. This country is becoming more communistic by the minute. It's no different than China. We're becoming a socialist nation. The Pope come and distribute the wealth. And the thing is, when you become like that, it doesn't give anyone an incentive to climb the ladder, because if you're going to take what they have, what's the sense in climbing the ladder? Now, the U.S. and NATO don't want things to be reported. They don't want the truth to be reported. There have been doctors who have been found dead because they have linked autism to vaccinations. There have been scientists that have been found dead, not by coincidence. There's a kill list of certain scientists. The governments, these governments are crooked as crooked can be. They're evil. The Extension Protocol. This is an article that I had taken. This was actually from 2013, but it's still, there's been new things in the news with regards to the New Mandarin fault. In California, Sandres, I believe it's called Sandres, that there's earthquakes, and it's just a matter of time before these earthquakes go off. Now, it says here, this was in, according to Missouri, it says, it's a bleak scenario. A massive earthquake along the New Mandarin Fault kills or injures 60,000 people in Tennessee. A quarter of a million are homeless. This is not real. This is saying that what could happen, okay? The Memphis airport, the country's biggest air terminal for packages, goes offline. Major oil and gas pipelines across Tennessee rupture, causing shortages in the Northeast. In Missouri, another 15,000 people are dead or hurt. Cities and towns throughout the central U.S. lose power and water for months. Losses of hundreds of billions of dollars. Fortunately, this magnitude 7.7 is not real, but rather a scenario imagined by the Mid-America Earthquake Center. Okay, what they're saying here is this is the worst case scenario that could possibly take shape should there be an earthquake on the New Mandarin Fault. Now, why am I reading this? Because the UN is supposed to be meeting, I believe it's on the 23rd of this month, in regards to making Palestine a state. They also want to divide Israel, Jerusalem. This is in Bible prophecy. You divide my land, I will divide yours. So we need to understand that should the U.S. decide that they're going to force Israel's hand, and one of the things they're doing is by considering making Palestine a state, which has never been done, and Barack Obama is normally the U.S. keep it from happening, but this time the U.S. is saying that they're more than likely not going to keep it from happening. And so, therefore, what is gonna take place? There's some things that's gonna be taking place, and as I've told people before, and see, people wanna mock and they wanna say, oh well, you know, you don't have to prepare, and if you prepare, you're not having faith, the thing is, you're a fool if you don't prepare. And I'm just gonna say that, just like the five foolish virgins, the five wise, just like Joseph prepared for Pharaoh and Egypt, just like the apostle prepared for a famine. It didn't take place for 10 years, but it took place. You're foolish if you don't prepare. Okay? What am I talking about prepare? I mean, store extra water. Why does it have to be a Katrina that takes place before people get serious? That, you know, you saw what happened in Katrina. You saw that FEMA did not come through in time to save thousands of people. You saw that the people were on top of roofs, wanting water, hungry. They were confiscating guns and all kind of things. Why does it have to take place before people realize? And then, oh, well, I should have prepared, when you can start buying extra canned goods, buying extra water. I've told you, do not keep a lot of money in the bank. Keep small bills of money on you. Keep, you know, very minimum in the bank just in case you can't go to the ATM. Things are going to be taking place, and so many people don't want to hear it. They don't, you know, they feel like you're fear-mongering. Well, no, this is not fear-mongering. This is preparing you. Only fools don't prepare. People want to talk about, well, I'm going to have faith. Faith, put your mouth where your money is. Put your, you know, and the Bible say faith without works is dead. You have faith that God is going to carry you through with what you don't have. But the thing is, he tells us to, we're supposed to prepare. Okay, so that means that if you run out of food, you've prepared the best you can. But if you run out, you have faith that God is going to supply the rest. That don't mean that I'm not going to do nothing and I'm just going to expect manna to come down from heaven. You prepare, you do what you can do, and then you have the faith that God is going to do the rest. That means when you go to the store, you know, some people, they'd rather go spend money on movies rather than buy food and extra food and prepare. How foolish. How foolish. And then they'll be the very ones going to beg everybody else, do you have food? And you've been listening to these kind of broadcasts. You've been listening to this broadcast. You've been listening to other broadcasts where they're telling you to prepare. And any pastor who tells you not to prepare, that's a fake, okay? You are to prepare. Just like you prepare for life insurance. You get life insurance just in case. Just like you get car insurance just in case. Well, what is the difference in you buying food and medical supplies and extra water just in case? So don't let any pastor tell you, oh, you're not supposed to buy extra food because that's fear-mongering. No. If he has life insurance, then you ask him that question. What do you have life insurance for? Just in case. What do you have car insurance for? I know it's mandated, but what do you have car insurance for? Why does the government want you to have car insurance? Other than to rip you off, but just in case. So if you do all these things just in case, then you should have some extra food, water, and medical supplies just in case. Silver, gold, precious metals, just in case. Moving on. Russian submarine with 20 ICBMs and 200 nuclear warheads is sailing to Syria. This is serious because Vladimir Putin, he has his biggest, largest submarine that holds nuclear warheads. 200 nuclear warheads sailing to Syria. And it can reach for miles, thousands of miles, okay? So this is nothing to play with that's going on here. And while people into scandal and everything else, there's some serious things that's taking place in this earth. Putin put Central Military District on full combat alert. That means that they're ready to go into war at any given time. He has scheduled 4,000 exercises in 2015. This is not just, they're just doing this out of routine. No, they're preparing for war, major war at that. France considers expanding airstrikes to Syria. France will begin reconnaissance missions over Syria on Tuesday and hold launch airstrikes against Islamic militants in the country, President Francis Holland said on Monday. Okay, so you have France is trying to strike, they're expanding airstrikes to Syria. You have Russia that's they're getting ready even nuclear wise. I believe the nukes is not so much for Syria. I believe those nukes is for the U.S. See, the thing is, the U.S. doesn't want Russia to be able to do anything. And Russia, they're preparing that if they got to go to war against NATO and the U.S., that they're going to. And mind you, they're not going to be by themselves. China has been really chummy with Russia, and they're not going to be by themselves. But let me say this. The United States is not going to win any wars. I don't believe so. The United States is in such a... It's in such a rebellious state that I believe God has lifted the hand off. The United States should go to war. They're not going to win. And that's because America has, again, has turned her back to God and has become prideful, no humility to God. And so how can God bless a country that has turned her back to God? And some people say, oh, well, because we got Christians in this nation. Let me remind you that God was sending warning after warning after warning through Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all these different prophets prior to Israel going into captivity. Israel went into captivity even though there were ones that were serving the true God. Daniel, let's remember, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were serving God. They were part of the ones who were taken into captivity as young boys. But they still had to go. Why? Because Israel as a whole had turned her back. So even though, and some people will say, oh, well, you know, God told Abraham that there were 50, 40, 30. Let me tell you something. God already knew that there were not those numbers there. But judgment will come. Read your Bibles, people. Pick up the book of Revelation in the Bible and read it. Half of your pastors won't even talk about it. They too busy talking about money, building mega churches, and all of this. They won't even teach you the book of Daniel. They won't even teach you Revelation. You need to read for yourself. Read for yourself and understand the times that we're in. If you want some Revelation lessons, please go to Amazon.com. Revelation, Removing the Prophetic Veil, a series of 11 lessons, 9 are complete. And you can learn about the book of Revelation. Islamic State takes Syrian state's last oil field. Islamic State of Iraq and Levant, ISIL, ISIS, whatever, fighters have seized the last major oil field under Syrian government control during battles over a vast central desert zone, a group monitoring the conflict said on Monday. The Jazil field was now shut down and clashes were ongoing east of Horns with casualties reported on both sides, the Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said without giving dates or more details. Okay, so ISIS has taken over oil fields. See, ISIS is rich. They're very much funded. They're very rich and funded. And the thing is that they're taking over the oil fields. This is just crazy that the U.S., you know, the U.S. claim, oh, we're bombing ISIS. We're just hitting a few empty buildings. They were never fighting ISIS. They were forming them. They were supplying them. One explosion is an accident. Four is sabotage. Fourth industrial explosion rocks China in string of covert attacks on industry. This is from naturalnews.com. A fourth industrial explosion has rocked China, this time in the Xinjiang province. When the Tianjin explosion happened right after China's currency devaluation, Natural News was told by Chinese dissidents that the United States was engaged in a kinetic retaliation against China for its cyber warfare attacks and currency moves. Naysayers insisted Tianjin was just a random event and wouldn't be repeated. Then a retaliatory explosion destroyed a U.S. military weapons depot in Tokyo. A sabotage device was found on the scene, all but proving that the explosion was a deliberate sabotage. Soon after, another explosion ripped through China's Shandong province, provided by a third industrial explosion. At the same time, Chinese warships were spotted off the coast of Alaska. Suddenly, coincidence theorists began to silently slink away, hoping no one would remember how they said the explosions were just random chance and wouldn't continue. Okay, and then as he wrote 5 days ago, watch for yet another war posturing, currency devaluation moves, debt dumping attacks, cyber warfare, strategic hacking, and unexplained explosions throughout the remainder of 2015. These are not random events. They are all part of the war with China that has already begun. Now, a fourth industrial explosion confirms the pattern. Okay, so what is Natural News saying? Natural News is saying, okay, we can see one explosion take place in China. Okay, we might give you just another one. But you had one, two, three, and now a fourth one. These are not accidents, okay? This is letting us know that China and the U.S. is already at war. It's just not being official and not no people trying to keep it hush-hush. The China government trying to keep it hush. The United States trying to act like they're not doing anything. But there is already a war going on. Moving on. Oregon judge accused of blocking gay marriage applicants hanging Hitler picture. An Oregon judge who refused to perform same-sex marriage is facing multiple complaints in a state ethics investigation, including that he put up picture of Adolf Hitler in the Salem courthouse, a state judicial commission said on Tuesday. Okay, I don't know about this Hitler picture, but this judge is refusing to marry gays because of his Christian beliefs. And so, therefore, they're trying to, again, the government is coming up against Christians left and right. It's an attack, just like on Kim Davis. She was released on Tuesday, but that's just the war. The battle is not, the battle's not over. It is not over. It's just beginning. Government claim security to silence journalists. Look, I already read about that, is that there were journalists being silenced because the U.S. and NATO don't want them talking on the real issues. Massive sandstorm strikes the Middle East. An out-of-season sandstorm has struck the Middle East, causing thousands to have medical issues and reducing visibility in the region. The Times of Israel called the sandstorm a brownish-yellow fog throughout the country. The storm has been working across Israel and into Lebanon, Iraq, and Syria. Meteorologists say the storm will be followed by an intense heat wave that will last through the weekend. All right, so what is going on here? We got signs of the time, the end of the age, things that are actually taking place, and the weather. And while the Pope is coming here this month to talk about climate change, again, let me tell you, there is no such thing as climate change. Okay, what is going on is that in response to sin, God is changing the climate and allowing things to happen. It's not climate change. As we know, God always gives judgments right before the ultimate one, and that's what's going on. You got massive fish die-offs. You got bees dying off. You got turkeys and chickens with avian bird flu. They believe it's going to start back up once the birds start migrating in the fall. There's a lot of things that's taking place, and it's not because of natural occurrences. It's because of sin and because of the wickedness that is in the world. Okay, moving on. Washington, at least three Russian military transport. This is from the Associated Press. At least three Russian military transport planes have landed in Syria in recent days, U.S. officials said on Tuesday, as Washington worries about the sort of assistance Moscow is providing to Damascus. Okay, so we went over that. Russia is ready to establish air bases. They're creating air bases and in certain territories of Collective Security Treaty Organization. There's a lot, again, Russia is getting ready for war, and there is so many things that are taking place, and we need to just know the times that we are actually living in right now. Another article that I had pulled up, it says that the devastating Greek tragedy coming to America. What they're saying is that the thing that's taking place in Greece is going to be coming to America. There's going to be such thing as you're not going to be able to go to the ATM and get your money. There's going to be such thing as you might not be able to go and get food off the shelves. That's why it's so critical to prepare. A lot of these events are planned, and they were planned decades before, but it's to bring down the U.S., it's to bring down the economy. This is actually giving rise to the beast system that's coming. Okay, there's the Antichrist has to come on the scene. He's going to be coming on the scene, and so it's bringing rise to this one world government, this one world currency, the one world religion. Okay, and that's why the economies are up in the uproar right now. There's so much that's taking place, and the U.S. is in so much debt, and other nations are falling. Well, they're just gonna have to reset everything. There's gonna be a global reset, okay? And so therefore, that's why you're seeing the stock market is up down, gone crazy. And again, we're in the year of the Shemitah is ending, and a lot of people are expecting a great collapse by this weekend. We'll see if that great collapse take place, but there's so much that's taking place that is just unprecedented. imagine. And even if it doesn't happen this exact weekend, things are happening. Let's not forget we have another blood moon that's going to be in this month, I believe on the 28th of this month. And so letting you know, warning that things are going to happen, then judgment, and God is displeased with this world. All right, we are going to, let me see here. I'm trying to make sure I get to all these articles. Iran Supreme Leader says no U.S. negotiation nuke deal. The Iran Supreme Leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, said Wednesday that his country will not enter into talks with the United States outside of the nuclear deal with power world powers, as Washington could use other negotiations to penetrate the Islamic Republic. Khamenei's comments were published on his website, come as enough U.S. lawmakers now support the nuclear deal to block passage of a resolution of disapproval and hand President Obama a major foreign policy victory. This is no victory at all. This is a demise of the United States, and you got some idiots, fools in the United States government who are giving Iran what they want and getting nothing in return. Did they get their prisoners? Did they, Pastor Saeed is still in jail. Three other Americans are still in Iranian prison, and the United States negotiating and not getting anything in return. The only winner is this is Iran. Okay, so what is really, really going on? Russia demands answers from Sofia, Athens, as Syria flights are blocked. Moscow on Tuesday demanded answers from Greece and Bulgaria after Sofia banned Russian supply flights to Syria from its airspace, and Athens said it had been asked by Washington to do the same. If anyone, in this case our Greek and Bulgarian partners, has any doubts, then they, of course, should explain what the problem is, Deputy Foreign Minister Mikhail Bonova said, told the Interfax news agency. If we are talking about them taking some sort of restrictive or prohibitive measures on America's request, then this raises concerns about their sovereign right to take decisions about planes from other countries, Russia in particular, crossing their airspace, he said. Okay, so again, the U.S. has been telling other countries, do not let Russia into your airspace, and this is what's going on. So Russia's trying to block, United States is trying to block Russia from using other countries' airspace. Moscow is ready for more sanctions regardless of the Ukraine crisis. Russia has no illusion about sanctions being lifted and expects them to be stiffened in future, regardless of the developments in eastern Ukraine. That's according to a leading Russian diplomat who says Moscow can live under continuous Western pressure. We believe that in certain direction, notwithstanding of the developments of Donbass, that we should expect toughening of sanctions pressure. Russian Deputy Minister, Foreign Minister Sergei Wakov said at Russia. Okay, so basically Russia is saying that they're expecting there to be more sanctions. Okay, it says Russia's independent, self-sufficient foreign policy is decisiveness to protect its sovereignty, and the consolidation of the people with the country's leadership serve as a thorn in the side of our opponents. We presume that sanctions are there for a long haul. There are no reasons or illusions that sanctions are going to be lifted in the short term, or at least not in the foreign ministry. Okay, so basically Russia is saying that they're expecting sanctions to stay. As we know, the U.S. has imposed sanctions on them, and they're thinking there's going to be even tougher, and so therefore they're expecting it. Okay, we are going to, let me see here, I'm trying to make sure I got all these articles. We are going to be right back. I'm going to just read Islam's Conquest of Europe, and what this was released by Pat Buchanan on September the 8th, which was yesterday. And so I'm going to read this, and then we're going to go to the Word of God. There are so many things that are taking place, and we have to know that the times that we're facing, we're going to have to really just be very, very close to God, because so many things are taking place that's just unprecedented that we're seeing. And we can't be discouraged. We're going to have to stand even though things are taking place. Just like Kim Davis, you know, she stood her ground We're going to see what happens further from this. But, you know, she stood her ground, and we're going to have to stand even in the midst of trials and various things. When you've done all you can do, you just got to stand and stand on the promises and stand on the word of God. And is that easy? No, it is not easy. It is hard. Don't let anybody fool you and say it's easy. Some people talk about having faith, and they don't know about faith until it's actually been tested. You know, they might have had a little something here, a little something there, but some of us been tested beyond max, beyond our human capability. We've been tested, and you don't know about faith until you've had to use it. You don't know about what it's good. It's okay to sing songs, I have faith, and all of these things, but until you have to stand on that faith, you really don't know what faith is. And some of us have been tested beyond measure, and the only thing we can do is just stand and just know that God's word will not return void, and we have to really just stand on those promises. And yes, you get tired of, you know, promises, you're going to come through, and you're not seeing anything, and it's seeming hard. But the only thing we can do is to stand upon the word of God and allow him to bring us through whatever trials we go through.
Friends are gone away, you're left all alone, oh Lord. Oh, tell me, what do you give? You've given your all, seems like you can't make it through. Well, you just stand when there's nothing left to do. You just stand, hallelujah. Watch the Lord see you through. After you've done all you can, oh, you just stand. Oh, Brother Beanie, help me say,
how do you handle?
Do you handle the guilt of your past, your past back? Tell me, how do you deal with the shame? When your heart has been broken and feel to you, son. All you can. And square your shoulders. Hey, you just hold your head up and wait on them, wait on them, wait on them. Never let the enemy see you cry. Never let them see you cry. Square your shoulders, hold your head up, head up, head up. Yes, after you've done all you can. Oh, America.
You stand.
Through all the hurt, through all the pain, through all the trouble,
you stand.
Trust in God, you stand.
You stand.
Never give up, never give in, never give out,
you stand.
Just stand. When you've done all you can do, you just stand. And that's what we have to do, is know that we stand upon the word of God regardless of what goes on in our lives. We have to stand up and be strong. And even when that means if you have to go to jail and stand up for God, you have to stand. All right. I'm going to just read this quick thing. It's called Islam's Conquest of Europe. And this is by Pat Buchanan. And he said, liberalism is the ideology of Western suicide. And this was wrote by James Buchanan in his 1964 Suicide of the West. James Burnham predicted that the mindlessness of liberals who subordinate the interests of their own people and nations to utopian and impulses will bring about an end to Western civilization. He says, was he wrong? He says that Serbia, Hungary, Slovakia, small nations sense that they will be swamped by asylum seekers from the Muslim world or trying to seal their borders and secure their homelands. Their instinct for survival, the awareness of life, both ethics, is acute. Yet they are being condemned for trying to save themselves. Meanwhile, the Pope calls on Catholics everywhere to welcome the asylum seekers, and Angela Merkel will be taking in 800,000 this year alone though the grumbling has begun in Bavaria. This is but the beginning of what is to come. If Europe does not pull up the drawbridge for the scores of thousands of Syrians in the Balkans, Hungary, Australia, and Germany are only the first wave. Behind them in Lebanon, Turkey, and Jordan are 4 million refugees from the Syrian civil war. Seeing the success of the first wave, they are now on the move. Okay, so basically, I'm not going to be able to read this whole thing, but what this is saying is that the influx of what we're seeing here, refugees, is dangerous. It's very dangerous. We don't need an influx of Muslims in anybody's country. What's going to happen is that they're going to, wherever they go, they try to overtake that country. They try to change that country. We're seeing that happen here in the U.S. Instead of us being the home of the free, the land of the brave, and standing up for our freedoms, and they're teaching children. A parent just recently was on the news talking about how her child was forced to write, "Allah is the only God," something along that line. And first of all, wasn't there a big deal about separation of church and state? Well, why in the world is Islam being taught in public schools when they made such a big thing about Christianity? But see, this is the devil. The devil is, he's using homosexuality. He's using Islam. He's using abortions. He's doing all these things to send people to hell, because that's exactly where they're going, straight to hell. If you don't accept Jesus as your personal savior, you're going to hell. If you are into abortion, killing up babies, and you don't ask forgiveness for that and stop it, you're going to hell. Homosexual lifestyles, any sexual immorality, if you don't stop that lifestyle, you're going to hell. And see, the devil is the reason you're probably seeing all these sinkholes and everything, because, again, hell is expanding itself. Hell is going to be, it's so many people going to hell, so many that are going to hell, some even in the body of Christ. Most, majority of people in the body of Christ are not ready to meet God. And if Jesus was to come today, they would be lost, thinking that they're on their way to heaven. There's so much wickedness that's taking place in the world, and you wonder, you're trying to live right for Christ, if you are trying to live right, I pray that you are, and you're wondering, why is all these things taking place? Why is all the chaos? Well, Habakkuk, a prophet in the Bible, asked the same question to God. He was like, why? Why is all this taking place? Why am I seeing so much evil take place in this world? And Habakkuk, we're going to go to the book of Habakkuk. That's in the Old Testament. The book of Habakkuk. And Habakkuk, right after Nahum. So you have Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. I'm sorry, yeah, Joel, Amos, I believe Obadiah, and Jonah. Then you have Micah, then Nahum, and Habakkuk. Okay, so the book of Habakkuk, right before Zephaniah, chapter 1. I'm reading out of the New Life, the Life Application Study Bible, the Life Application Study Bible. Habakkuk chapter 1. And it reads, this is the message that the prophet Habakkuk received in a vision. Habakkuk's complaint, it says, how long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that the justice has become perverted. And see, these are the things that we're seeing right now. You know, he's asking, how long, God, must we continue to see this? All this violence everywhere. You know, you have people dying every day in the streets in Missouri and different places in the United States, just killing each other, just killing each other just to do it. And you wonder, how long must we go on? How long must we see this, God? How long is it going to be before you come back? You know, if you don't have a hunger in you for Jesus to come back, you have to ask yourself the question, is something wrong? Because you should have a hunger for God to come back, because there's so much going on. How long, God, are you going to let babies keep being aborted and torn limb from limb, literally? How long, God, are you going to let children keep dying of cancer and disease and hunger and starvation? How long, God, is your people going to have to keep suffering? And you asking, how long? And that's what's important. How long? How long is the law going to be paralyzed and there's no justice in the court? See, back in his day, there was no justice. In today's time, there's no justice. How long, God? The Lord replied, look around at the nations. Look and be amazed. For I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe, even if someone told you about it. I am raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people. They will march across the world and conquer other lands. They are notorious for their cruelty and do whatever they like. Their horses are swifter than cheetahs and fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their charioteers charge from far away. Like eagles, they swoop down to devour their prey. Oh, they come all bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind, sweeping captives ahead of them like sand. They scoff at kings and princes and scorn all their fortresses. They simply pile ramps of earth against their walls and capture them. They sweep past like the wind and are gone, but they are deeply guilty, for their own strength is their God. So God was saying, I'm gonna allow a wicked nation, even wickeder than the Israelites. I'm gonna allow them to come in, and they're gonna judge them. They're gonna give them punishment. So God was saying here, I'm gonna let a foreign nation come in and invade. They're wicked. They're very wicked. And their God is their own strength. They don't believe in the God. They believe in their own might. So that's going to take place with the United States. You know, God is going to allow a foreign nation to come in and destroy this country. It's going to, you know, there's going to be some things that's going to take place, and it's going to bring this nation down to its knees. And yes, there is going to be judgment, and then there's going to be revival. And many people are going to come to Christ when they see the things that's taking place in this world, in this earth. God's getting ready for a great revival that's going to take place. But then there's also going to be a judgment. But a lot of times judgment takes place before the revival can begin, because people won't see the seriousness of God until they see the judgment that's being brought upon them. Then they'll cry out to God. Habakkuk's second complaint. Oh Lord, my God, my Holy One, you are eternal. Surely you would not plan to wipe us out. O Lord, our rock, you have sent these Babylonians to correct us, to punish us for our many sins. But you, O pure, cannot stand the sight of evil. Will you wink at their treachery? Should you not be silent while the wicked swallow up people more righteous than they? Or we only fish get caught and killed? Or we only sea creatures that have no leader? Must we be strung up by our hooks and caught in their nets while they rejoice and celebrate? Then they will worship their nets and burn incense in front of them. Their nets are the gods who have made us rich, they will claim. Will you let them get away with this forever? Will they succeed forever in a heartless conquest? So Habakkuk responds to God by saying, are you going to let a nation that's even more wicked to rejoice and take over, and even more wicked than the Israelites? And so we can question, God, are you going to let a wicked nation that's even more wicked than us to take over us, and then they're way more wicked than we are? God replies, first he says, I will climb up to my watch tower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait and see what the Lord says, and how he will answer my complaint. That's Habakkuk talking. Then God responds. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that the runner can carry the message correct to them. Their vision is for the future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. Wealth is treacherous, and the arrogant are never at rest. They open their mouths as wide as the grave, and like death, they are never satisfied. In their greed, they are gathered up many nations and swallowed many people. But soon their captors will taunt them. They will mock them, saying, what sorrow awaits you, thieves? Now you will get what you deserve. You have become rich by extortion. How much longer can you go on with this? God is saying here is that the Babylonians, you know, they took everything that they wanted, and they got everything that they wanted. But see, God was going to use these Babylonians to teach Israel a lesson. And Israel's lesson was to tell them to stop turning away from God. God had blessed Israel. He had blessed them to get the, you know, to get out of slavery. He had blessed them to get the land of Canaan, where milk and honey. They were blessed. And the only thing God required of them was to stay obedient and not turn away from his guidelines. But the nation didn't listen. They never listened. So therefore, God turned them over And he said I was going to turn them over to a nation that was even more wicked than them. And sometimes God will do that. You know, there's been many people having visions about Russia and China destroying America. And I do believe that's going to happen because there's been prophet after prophet that's had this vision. And they've been warning America to turn back, turn back, turn back. But instead of America turning back, America has gotten more wicked. Does it sometimes seem like in life where, you know, you know that you're living right, but then it seems like the wicked is the one that prosper? The wicked is the one that's, you know, seemingly look like they're being blessed? The wicked is the one that, you know, they'll mock you for living right, but then you know that you're doing all that you can to honor God, and it seems like that the more you try, the more that the wicked is prospering? But see, don't get faint. You know, sometimes it's so easy. It is so easy to give up. And it's so easy. You know, the devil puts it in all of our minds. He tells us, you know, it's not worth it. You know, it doesn't matter what you do. God will always not bless you. He always going to find a reason to not honor his word and not bless you. And there's a lot of this, you know, a lot of this is going on with many people. Many people are struggling to do what's right. And yet it seemed like it's not being honored. But God lets us know that he can't go against his word. He has to honor his word. He has to do what he says. And the wicked, they will have an unexpected end if they do not turn back to God. But God is faithful. He is just and he is righteous. And sometimes we keep hearing, you know, you're going to get blessed. You're going to get this. You're going to get that. God is going to bless you. You're going to come out. You're going to come out. And you're still like, why am I still in this situation? Why the wicked is still prospering? And why, God, why are you letting this world just keep going on and on and on in its wickedness? But God is taking note. He does see the end from the beginning. He knows what's going to happen. And he's given them time enough to repent and confess their sins before him. But the day of reckoning is coming.